from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Ursula, this morning, I came out to the car, and I got to admit to you, I can't tell you how excited I was to see it say 50 degrees in my car this morning.
Ooh, nice. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was nice and brisk. And I did not have a jacket on. I only had this T-shirt on. But I said, you know what? It is now time for me to start dressing up again. I've been on a strike, and I've been on a strike for like the last 2 months. I don't really, really care what I wear. Hence the reason I've been wearing Crocs and the T-shirts and the shorts and all that. But now, we are at the season where I get to start wearing some flavor. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning. And, you know, in case anyone was ready to do the fall celebration today, because I mentioned that fall was starting today, I was off by one day. I kind of jumped the gun. It doesn't start officially until tomorrow night. But there was only one thing that I could think of today, and it was not my fall wardrobe.
No, it was not.
How are y'all handling the smoke?
That wasn't an act. That's Ursula all morning.
Yes. It just has kicked up my little bronchial spasms. They're going on full blast this morning. And I got a question. Is this how we're going to be ending summer in the Pacific Northwest every year? So we'll get into that. And then in what's new at 10, Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz joins us. As you know, the mayor just announced that he is his pick for the permanent job. So let's be honest, G. We have been critical of Chief Diaz. We've always said he is one of the nicest people that we've had on the show. But there were some concerns about whether he would be the top pick. Well, the mayor had no concerns, and that was very clear. So we are going to have a chance to talk to Chief Diaz. There's one more step. The city council still needs to confirm him, but it's expected to happen. So we will have a chance to talk to him coming up at 10 o'clock. As always, we invite you to join us. 888-973-5476. 888-973-CHIRO is our state roofing text line.
It's time to give the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
Holy smokes! Holy smokes!
Holy smokes is right. Wildfire smoke, in case you haven't noticed, is blanketing parts of Western Washington this morning. You can really see and smell it right now.
Not excited. Because it's like the last few days of nice weather and it's smoky.
And unfortunately, the hazy skies and campfire smell will be sticking around at least through tomorrow. And as you heard in Heather's newscast, it's going to go away and then it's going to come back over the weekend. Dana Felton with the National Weather Service says the smoke is from the Bolt Creek fire, which has burned more than 10,000 acres between Gold Bar and Skykomish. The air quality in Seattle went from moderate to unhealthy now. That is the worst in our state. So if you have asthma or bronchitis like I do on occasion, or any other respiratory conditions, it's a good idea to stay indoors.
I was boring you guys about 3 weeks ago when I kept talking about air quality. I was talking to you and Chef, and I kept saying, like, the older we get, I feel that the more we are really concerned about the air. I never gave a damn about the air. I could breathe at any time. I was young. I ain't so young anymore. And so air, being able to do that is really important to me. And according to what has been said, this is starting to happen every single year. Ursula, I've only been here for 23, 24 years, right? And in my time, I don't remember air quality being like this. It seems like every single year around end of August, September time, we're having this happen.
Well, you can tell wildfire me. Wildfire seasons are happening. I mean, and every once in a while we'll get a break, but there is this fire right now that has been burning for over a week.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, it doesn't matter what age you are. This is not healthy for our kids to be breathing in. I went and visited my dad yesterday at the assisted living center, and they were telling people that they couldn't go outside. You know, and right on these beautiful days, you can't go outside.
We're pretty spoiled here in the Pacific Northwest. Can we agree with that? We have we have great air, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, there's some folks where I'm from in Chicago, you know what I mean? We get days like this. This will happen like that. It's just normal, right? It'll go
the
away.
Wildfire smoke, I mean, there's a very distinct smell.
Very, very true. Question for you, though. I always like to ask, because you've already, you're going to be having AC next summer. Air conditioning is going to be your thing. But if right now, you know, the folks that are doing the stuff in your house, if they came to you and said, Ursula, right now, you and Long Live Mark, we have something so you can have better quality air in your home. It's going to cost this much. Would you do it?
100%.
Okay.
But would I be paying every day, or would I just get, you know, some kind of air filter? I mean, I already have an air filter in our house. I bought one of those portable ones.
Something equivalent to, you know, one of the spots in Vegas, you go to the casino and how they pump the oxygen in.
Oh.
Something equivalent to that. Would you pay for that?
Would that also mean that I forget all concept of time? Chef, how are you holding up with the smoke?
I'm holding up just fine. I flip-flop back and forth on this because, yes, it impacts me. Yes, I feel it. At the same time, for the vast majority of human history, we've cooked our food, we've heated our homes or our caves with fire. We've been around smoke for a lot as a human species, and sometimes I just get exhausted with the health warnings. I'm feeling exhausted this morning. Maybe it's because I'm getting less oxygen from the smoke.
I was going to say, I'm feeling exhausted because our studio reeks right now.
I know. It's like there's a campfire in here. It's amazing.
Okay, Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell has made his pick for police chief. It is Interim Chief Adrian Diaz, who has been in this position since 2020, after former top cop Carmen Best suddenly announced her resignation. Harrell says Chief Diaz stepped up at a time when the department was struggling with severe staff shortages and low morale.
Our police officers spent the last several years serving our community despite exceptionally challenging circumstances. You name the circumstance of difficulty, and they did that. We are committed to supporting and retaining them, and quite candidly, Chief Diaz is the right one for that job.
Chief Diaz was one of three finalists. His appointment still has to be confirmed by the city council, but as I mentioned, that is not expected to be an issue.
First, I want to just say, in front of everyone, I was wrong on who they'd pick. Yesterday morning, I sat down with Chef and Ursula before the show. And you guys know Ursula won't let me tell a fib on here on the air. So everything I'm saying is factual and true. I sat down with Chef and Ursula and I said, you know what? When we get a chance, I want to talk about the police chief search again and how I believe it will be Chief Diaz, right?
You did say that.
Okay.
And I said, what suddenly got into you?
And this is what I said. I said, what got into me is the term, the interim term. Like, he's the interim chief. And it reminds me of, and I like to use the analogy of sports. In sports, the interim head coach, or in your job somewhere, you're the interim manager or CEO or interim principal or superintendent. When you don't have the tag, the official tag, you aren't as empowered to do the things that you can. So, for an example, you know, you're sitting around, you got a temporary tag. You know, you're a subordinate, and though your employees, they're looking at you like, look, player, you ain't really got the job. You're not really the person yet. And I wanted to get on the air and say, maybe I was wrong. And once, if he gets that role, he's empowered to actually make change and a real difference. Had no clue that they were going to make the announcement at 1 o'clock yesterday. So I didn't get an opportunity.
Your timing was impeccable. I will say that, because we had talked. I mean, yeah, you said, and I said, well, what suddenly got into you? Because you were trying to give me, you know, ask me. And I said, well, at least 50-50.
You said 50-50.
Yeah, it's going to be Chief Diaz. Now, understand that there are many. Okay, maybe I'll say a big handful of officers who we are in contact with. Let's put it that way.
Fair.
A handful of officers. And so a lot of times our impressions are shaped by some of these people who reach out. But it dawned on me last night, and as I was thinking about it, that I think some of the officers are part of the old guard. At SPD.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that their opinions don't matter. In fact, they matter quite a bit.
Sure.
But they don't represent everybody.
No.
Because I saw that the Police Guild supports Chief Diaz. I also, my understanding is that a lot of the new officers, and I think your sources within the department have said that,
yep.
That he got a lot of support. But there was also a lot of support for Assistant Chief Eric Greening. And so some of my wobbling on that, like it was based on some of the things that we heard from Mayor Harrell himself in terms of what he was looking for. And I was thinking, you know, does that fit Chief Diaz?
Right.
But I will say this, and we've said it over and over again. We'll have a chance to talk to him again. He has always been great about coming on.
Fantastic.
He's always been great about answering tough questions. So we're going to answer tough questions again, because one of the questions I have is, if there's so much talk about needing change, how do you signal that there are going to be changes when you're from within? And I know this as someone who went into leadership here at Cairo as being an insider. Sometimes it can be a lot. There are advantages and there are disadvantages. Yeah. So we will have a chance to talk to him. But I know that there are people saying, well, why did you bother with a headhunting firm for $75,000? That's standard. You have to. Yeah. So
Because because it was a very important search.
Yes.
Let's be crystal clear. It is very important to find out who the head person is going to be. And again, Chief Diaz, you're going to come on at 10 o'clock. I was wrong. And yes. if you want Chef to bring up the thing when I said, hey, Chief Diaz is like the pick that your mama picks, the real nice person, but you decide to go with someone a little edgier.
Yeah,
I said that.
Yeah, you don't need to bring it up because they heard. they heard.
You think Chief Diaz?
So you can just say, hey, Chief Diaz, I was wrong. Okay, we're going to move on. SeaTac airport managers now admit wait times were too long last weekend. And we get more on that from Cairo News Radio's Diane Duthweiler.
More SeaTac workers, airline staff, and federal TSA screeners will be on duty this weekend. Last weekend, some passengers missed flights after taking 2 to 3 hours to get cleared and to their gates. The airport disputed that, saying wait times were about 90 minutes, longer than average because of a high number of cruise ship passengers. Now, SeaTac says security lines were understaffed and wait times unacceptable. The reason? Extra TSA agents were brought in for summer, but they left after Labor Day when air travel normally declines. This year, it didn't. Diane Duthweiler, Cairo News Radio.
So the question I have now is, so SeaTac admits they made a mistake. They didn't have enough staffing. So for those folks who missed their flights, right, is that going to help you now that they say, yeah, in fact, the wait lines were really, really long. And that is one of the reasons why you missed your flight. Is that going to help you?
No, it's not. And sometimes we've talked about this because, as we know, there have been a lot of flights that have been missed over the last year, starting with the Omicron variant in end of December and then in January and throughout the rest of this year. Ursula, you cannot put a price tag on missed moments. There is no price tag that I can, no money that I can get for missing my uncle's funeral. I wasn't able to go to there. There is no price tag for missing seeing your loved one last time. There is no price tag for missing that wedding. When you are flying out of town, and I ain't trying to get in everybody's business, but we all fly out of town for different reasons. You, myself, anyone else, is just as important for them to get to that destination because it's important enough for you to pay for that ticket. I'm glad that they finally came and admitted that they were a little bit in the wrong, and I hope that people are able to get some type of financial compensation. But it's interesting that they didn't admit that in the very beginning. They tried to put that on, you know, everybody else. No, we were fine. Everything was fine.
Well, they didn't say it was fine, but they said it was more like 60 to 90 minutes, right, Chef? I mean, it was like
TSA said 60. Yeah. The airport said 90. 90. Cell phone video, thank you, 2022.
Right?
Said otherwise.
Right?
Yeah. So people were like, no.
Cell phone video.
Yeah. But when you see those lines, I have never seen that. All the way.
I ain't never seen that either.
Into the parking garage and deep. So they say they're going to try to fix that. They're going to try to make it better. Can I just do a shout out to Alaska Airlines? Because you heard me this morning.
I mean, go ahead.
Okay, and I get nothing. This is not a paid endorsement. But, okay, you guys know that I had to skip a flight to Vegas. I had to skip a trip to Vegas because I got sick with COVID. And I had called two different airlines and said, you know, hey, I can't take this flight. Can you do something? Alaska Airlines immediately did a credit.
Right.
The other airline, I'm going to say Frontier, made me really fight for it.
Made you fight.
Then after
you fought,
after
you fought more for that than you fought during COVID. But go ahead.
Exactly. And then Alaska Airlines. Okay, so then I take the flight to Alaska Airlines. Well, when I went to Vegas, you know how I texted you and I said, mm-hmm. I am on the very last row. I am in the middle seat. And I said, Alaska Airlines,
what are you next to? What are you next to?
The bathroom.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm in the middle seat. And I said, this was not. Okay. So I used the credit, but I'm thinking, are they punishing me for using the credit? So I got one of those surveys and I sent in the survey. They kept saying, you know, sending me emails like, hey, what'd you think of your last flight? And I was like, okay, if you really want to know, you did me dirty by putting me in that middle seat in the back row. I get an email from Alaska Airlines with a long apology.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, I'm going to give you a discount for your next flight.
Hmm.
Good job, Alaska Airlines.
Which one of your people been telling you?
I know.
I've been telling you.
I know. So when it comes to, does a specific airline matter? The answer is yes.
Absolutely.
And your hometown team there with Alaska Airlines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, just a reminder, 10 o'clock today, the new police chief for Seattle will be joining the G and Ursula show. But up next, Nicole Jennings, our Cairo news reporter, will join us to talk about the protests that are going on right now that it involves a homeless shelter. I think there's going to be some agree to disagree here. We'll talk about that next. G and Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula show. Happy Wednesday to all of you. Hopefully you are dealing okay with all this wildfire smoke. Again, it will be going away hopefully soon, but hang in there. If homeless shelters aren't acceptable in your backyard, the question is then where should they go? This is an age-old problem, and it is coming to a head right now in Seattle's Chinatown International District as community members are crying foul over plans for a homeless shelter expansion.
The fact that they never consulted the community, they never reached out to us, there's no engagement or outreach, is systemic racism. I feel like they're taking advantage of our Asian politeness.
Our reporter, Cairo News Radio's Nicole Jennings, has been covering this story, and she joins us live right now. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Ursula. Good morning, G.
Let's just start with where would this expansion happen? How many people are we talking about? Describe briefly the project itself.
So the project would be an expansion of an already existing homeless shelter in Soto, so right next door to the Chinatown International District where these people are from. This would add, I think, 150 beds. So there are 270 now. It would add 50 spaces for RVs, they're saying. Also would add tiny houses. So in total, the county says it would be more than 500 people who would be housed.
So why was it there wasn't more communication on this? According to what's being said, they're saying that they're just finding out about this and this approval would happen back in May. You find out anything about that?
I have reached out to the county, to specifically to the Department of Community and Human Services, who was behind this shelter expansion. They have not gotten back to me yet, because that's the exact question I have, is where is the lack of communication? Normally, you would have community meetings before this kind of thing, even if it was a done deal and you weren't looking for community input necessarily when making the decision. You would at least let the community know that this is happening, I would think. So that's all very odd, and I really hope the county will come on for an interview and answer that.
Was the community thinking that because the existing place where it was, the lease was going to be up and right now there's going to be an extension. Were people in the community thinking that they were just the lease was going to be up and it was just going to be gone? Is that what they were thinking?
I think so, yeah. What they're thinking now is that this is still only going to be temporary, just for a few years, and what they want to see is a permanent solution. In fact, community members, which I really appreciated, came to the city council meeting yesterday armed with a lot of really good ideas about where you could put a permanent shelter as an alternative to this neighborhood. An idea was the hangar at Magnuson Park, the tennis courts there as well, indoor tennis courts. So they want to see something permanent, not just something that's going to go away in a couple years, but most likely leave the people who had been living in the shelter than there on the streets.
So in other words, they had a lot of great ideas, but it was essentially not in the ID. I mean, not in Seattle's yes. International District is what they're saying. I want to share some of the comments from people who attended this protest, and then we'll continue from there.
We have the highest homicide rates in all of the city. We steadily, in the past year, have been watching a lot of crime. Seniors are fearful at night. I remember pre-pandemic, you could go out to Hinge Park at midnight, and there'd be seniors sitting there listening to Chinese opera, and now you will never see that.
Okay, so I think that they were trying to make the distinction and say that we are not against people who don't have housing. We're more worried about the crime. If the city and the county, because I understand, I think this is a joint deal. If they were able to give the assurances that there would be services provided, security, et cetera, would they still have the issue? Is it that they just don't want this anywhere close to the International District?
Well, what they're telling me is that ever since this first shelter went in, it's really attracted a lot of criminals, drug dealers who are preying on the people who are homeless. And like you said, they have nothing against the people who are homeless. In fact, a lot of the people I spoke with volunteer and go take sandwiches to them and things. It's the drug dealers who inevitably are going to be attracted to an area where there's a homeless shelter because they're going to try to prey on those people to take advantage of the situation. And so with those drug dealers, of course, comes, you know, shootings, gang violence, that sort of thing. I spoke to one elderly man who's lived in Chinatown his entire life and said from his condo building at night, he hears gunshots regularly. So what they're saying is that this neighborhood has just been completely transformed. They no longer feel safe in the place that they've lived for decades. And they say that really this is institutional racism because historically, when there's something that you need to put somewhere and no one wants it in their backyard, it ends up in neighborhoods that are predominantly immigrants.
And so right now, when is this expansion expected to happen? Is there going to be any kind of public hearings beforehand?
I have heard that there is going to be now a meeting next week between the county and city, the two partners on this, and the community. I need to look more into that because I've only seen that in one spot. And again, I want to ask the county about that. So my guess is because of all the backlash that is happening now, that they're going to kind of put the brakes on this and maybe try and come up with a few different ideas because the county and city certainly don't like getting bad press.
Thank you, Nicole. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we wanted to talk a little bit more about this because I think we're going to hear this from every single community where who's going to just happily accept a homeless shelter? And there's one that already exists in the ID. I love Chinatown. I love the International District. I go frequently. But this idea of you know, we can't have it here. I guess I'm not buying the idea that putting it in that location is furthering institutional racism. Although I hear them and I hear what they're saying, they just opened one in Green Lake. You know, they're trying to open a shelter on the east side. It's like every community is going to have to take some of the brunt because are we not all talking about needing to get them off the streets?
We are. We are. Sometimes you can feel my energy on a topic and you probably don't know where I'm going with this. And I feel like I should be having this discussion at the kitchen table at home because I would probably feel more comfortable in what I'm going to say right now. The truth is, Ursula, yes, we do. We do want to get the unhoused off the streets. We do want them in this continuation of, well, we don't want it in our neighborhood and we don't want it in our neighborhood. We don't want it in our neighborhood. If that continues to happen, then where are you going to put them? And I know all the time we get all the, you ship them there and you ship them here and all this stuff.
Like you're going to find an open field
somewhere.
Need to have a place where there are services.
No doubt. But Ursula, the truth of the matter is, let's face it, we don't have the services. We don't have it. We don't have the people. We don't have the services. And because we don't have those things, that when you put these places in these communities, there is straight up mayhem that be happening on the streets. And I'm just keeping it a buck. I don't know how to say it any other way. We have not seen it be successful in these areas. And until that happens, are we going to continue to get pushback from communities?
It is an issue, though, if something is shoved down your throat without having a chance to at least know about it.
They just found out, Ursula.
At the very least, we need to know, like, what kind of notice did you get, and what kind of opportunity did these communities have, or do these communities have, to say something?
Yeah.
So that is a mistake, and it seems like it was hard to get to the bottom of that, but I think that as a whole, there are going to be some tough things that we have to be okay with in our neighborhoods if we're really going to try to get people off the streets.
Can I just say one last thing?
I mean, you have to have the security, you have to have the services.
You got to have the services.
Yes.
And I just don't think we have the services. When yesterday on the show, we were talking about counselors in school. I know it has nothing to do with anything, but we talked about how there's one counselor in the Seattle Public School District, one counselor for every 375 students. So you scale that into these situations where these folks, they need services, they need people, manpower, woman power, all those things, and you don't have that. And so what ends up happening is you have fallout all over the street, you have drug dealing, and by the way, drug dealers be like, yo, I'm going to go over there where the people that want the drugs are, and I'm going to be out an open deal. I'm going to set up a tent, be in a tent. You think I'm homeless. I ain't homeless. I'm just really selling drugs. That's a real situation. That's happening a lot. All right. I don't know where I'm going with this topic, but I'm just...
Well, I guess I want to know, though. So what do you...
I don't know.
...think should happen? I mean, we're finally talking about expansion of a homeless shelter that already exists. So they need to make sure that, hey, if you're going to expand it, that you have the services available, that you also have the security that's necessary, and that you have strict rules so that you can't continue to have what you just described. But every single community cannot say, not in my neighborhood...
Can you understand why they do it?
Yes.
All right. Okay, let me just say this, Ursula. I don't have a solution. I just want you to know I have no solution. Coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, we need to talk about the plan that Jeff Bezos has with Thursday Night Football. Is it working? We'll discuss that next. G and Ursula. Happy Wednesday, y'all. 10 o'clock, the new police chief for Seattle will join the show. Chief Adrian Diaz will join the show at 10 o'clock. But right now, let's talk about what we need to talk about. Amazon. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that says, I'm not watching NFL football on Thursday nights because I'm not getting Prime. And you know what? I understand that. There's a lot of people who just will not get Amazon Prime. But let me just tell you this. According to GeekWire, Amazon, last Thursday, it had and reported the biggest 3 hours of U.S. Prime signups ever in the history. So as many people that are saying, Ursula, that they are not signing up, oh, folks are signing up. Now, as you guys know, Amazon signed a deal with the NFL, an 11-year exclusive streaming rights deal with the NFL worth $11 billion. I'm not the greatest math person in the world, but it breaks down to $1 billion a season. That is a lot of coin for the NFL. I told you guys before that the viewing experience for me and for others came down to felt like we were watching a kung fu movie back in 1980. It was the sound and everything was not matching up. It was glitching a little bit. No, it did not crash. But overall, you think that this Thursday will be better coming up. But Ursula, the whole point is right now, people are signing up. And as you guys know, a Prime member right now is either $14.99 a month for a subscription or it's $139 for a year. According to this article, Prime members, Amazon Prime members, are more likely to purchase off of Amazon than non-Prime members. Ursula, your thoughts on this being very successful? It was so successful for Jeff Bezos, he tweeted about it.
Well, there you go. So everything turns to gold, it seems. And once again, even though you said that, you know, you felt like you needed to smack your TV, like the days
like
of,
back in the day.
You've got to just describe. What would your dad tell you?
Hey, champ, go smack the TV, champ. Smack the TV. That's how he sounds. You guys' parents used to have you get up there and smack the TV or move the antenna, and then you get it just right. No. Well, hold on. Well, just wait right there. Let me finish this. And you holding the antenna, and you had the TV, the floor model TV that was on the floor that it never worked, but you had another TV that was on top. So the floor model TV that never worked, that was like everything for your pictures on the side and your real TV to go right there.
Yeah, so that was your experience.
I am not surprised that a ton of people signed up for Prime. That's not shocking to me. I mean, for the last 2 years, I've signed up for YouTube Premium so I could watch the Super Bowl because I don't have cable. And then I immediately canceled it the next day. So this was the first game, right? Amazon saying, great, biggest day ever. Well, how many of those people are going to drop off and cancel their Prime membership? How many of those people are going to sign up again next Thursday or not at all? You saw a week one bump, Amazon. I don't think you're going to see that the rest of the season because while Thursday night football might be must-see TV for some people.
Not me.
That's not $139 a year worthy.
Okay.
That would be correct. But again, we'll see if it happens again, first of all, or if that was just an anomaly. But otherwise, if it is something, I mean, again, then brilliant move. But for me, it's just like, well, you got Thursday night TV there on Amazon. Well, it just means I'm not going to watch Thursday night the football.
I just thought about my barber, Toby. Hey, Toby, just so you know, I get a discount on my haircut because I signed you up on Thursday night last week in his barbershop. So I think if you're going to be watching Thursday night football, I need a discount on my haircut.
Okay, what was the viewership, though? Do you know? I mean, is it just overall a good move for football fans?
Yes. And the reason why, Ursula, is like, I think it was Shep that asked earlier, and I'll ask this. Is there anything better when it comes to must-see TV than college and NFL football? There's nothing that's beating it right now.
When you guys hear, okay, so I want to hear from you, 888-973-5476. When you hear the phrase must-see TV, what is that for you? Because right now I have nothing.
Now, when we say must-see TV, I'm saying must-see TV where you don't count on seeing it on demand or on your DVR. Like, must-see TV, you must see it in real time. I don't know that there's anything that makes us want to see it in real time more than college and NFL football.
Okay. I want to hear from all of you listening right now.
All right.
Well, what am I missing? Because right now, even college and NFL football, that's not must-see TV.
The chief, Adrian Diaz, the new Seattle police chief, joins the Gene Ursula Show next. Gene Ursula.